1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Time for the law feature here on Hot Business, brought to you by leading full-service law firm Weber Wenzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Weber Wenzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, part one of Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo's state capture report was officially handed over to President Cyril Ramaphosa on the 4th of January, and it feels like an age ago already, and it proposes some far-reaching measures to curb lawlessness, corruption and malfeasance. Now, it also raises several issues regarding public procurement. And to discuss these, I'm joined now by Mzikize Korta, partner at Weber Wenzel. An area of law that he specializes in, Mzikize, welcome to the show, is procurement. Can you just take us through what Zondo found regarding public procurement and how this was subverted under state capture?
Thanks very much, Michael. It's a pleasure to be on your show. So the Chief Justice or Acting Chief Justice makes a number of findings, obviously, about procurement, how it is subverted. But I think most fundamentally, he makes the apt point that the procurement system has actually been in dire strait well before the advent of state capture. So much of his findings and the recommendations he makes subsequent thereto aren't actually necessarily just driven by state capture. And he references a lot of articles and sort of jurisprudence that had developed over years since 2002, pointing out various issues. And the biggest issue that everyone who works in this space knows of and is constantly frustrated by is the fragmentation. It's probably the single biggest challenge for practitioners in the space, because the law is fragmented. There are at least 8 or 9 different statutes that have a direct impact on procurement activities, which is obviously quite a big ask for procurement professionals within the state and outside the state. And then he makes various findings of patterns of abuse through pre-tendering, during tendering, and post-tendering, which are obviously harnessed quite effectively by the architects of state capture and those who would find gaps. So, we can, I guess, touch on some of those patterns of abuse, but he also points out what he calls the intractable problems in procurement, and the first is the one I've just mentioned of the legislative mosaic, as he so poetically calls it.
When we look at that, just Mzikize, just to interject there quickly, that fragmented legislative landscape, isn't the public procurement bill that was published for public comment 2 years ago, isn't its aim to seek to overcome or harmonize and bring together the various fragmented pieces of legislation to ensure that it is far more coherent and user-friendly?
Indeed. It was published about 2 years ago now, and yet we haven't really seen much progress on that front. The procurement bill was really much eagerly awaited by lawyers and practitioners alike, because it attempts to really pull together some of the main sort of statutes, the PFMA, the triple PFA, which is the preferential procurement legislation. It tries to pull them together into one coherent system. Because one of the difficulties with these different acts is that depending on which institution you are, you'll have different parts of the different acts applicable to you. And now you are going to have this coherent system. The procurement bill, of course, had its own challenges, Michael. It was not exactly the model of clarity. It was lacking in a number of detail because it was quite an ambitious statute or proposed statute. But we haven't seen any active progression of that and refinement. And I would have thought that that would be the ideal place to address much of what the acting Chief Justice points out. And in fact, I think one of the most valuable things and missed opportunities by the Commission would have been to frame their proposals in the context of what is already contained and proposed in that procurement bill, because I think a number of their proposal overlap and or sort of rejig concepts that already exist in that bill instead of actually advancing what is already there.
And I also think, if we zoom out and we say, what is the overarching aim or goal of public procurement? Is it transformation, as the ruling party and policymakers have said for a very long time? They want to use government's purchasing power to help industries transform, or is it about getting bang for your buck? Is it about getting least cost wherever possible? What did Zondo say here?
Yeah, so Justice Zondo is quite I would say robust or quite strong in his expression of a view around this. His view is that public procurement is really ultimately about value for money, and that being effectively defined, and I say defined loosely, as getting the least cost for the public. He says that's the best way in which the public interest is served. I think that makes sense to most of us. The difficulty is, of course, that we live in a world that is primarily based on the Constitution. And part of the difficulty is that the Constitution articulates procurement principles, which are that procurement must be transparent, cost-effective, equitable, competitive, and fair. Those are the five procurement principles. It doesn't elevate any one of those principles above any other.
Mm.
And so what a lot of lawyers and legislation makers grapple with often is how to balance these sometimes competing considerations. When you look at, for example, issues of cost effectiveness, and you know, which seems at face value to have, you know, least cost in mind. But you look at this compared to equitability, which has a transformative idea in mind, amongst other things. Those two, sometimes in order to achieve the sort of transformative goal, you might be willing to pay a little bit more, so the rationale goes. And the Constitution doesn't say any one of these outweighs the other, but Justice Zondo is quite express that, in fact, the end of procurement is to ensure that you get the least cost for the goods. So that's a fairly radical interpretation of the Constitution, and quite a strong stance, which, as you point out, does depart somewhat from the policymakers and from a lot of the discourse coming out of the political parties and policymakers. And in fact, the procurement bill specifically indicates one of the objects of public procurement in South Africa being this the primary object is being this transformative goal, the harnessing of the purchasing power of government, as you put it. So I do think in some ways that Chief Justice or Acting Chief Justice is in a fortunate position of, I guess, looking at it from one perspective as opposed to a more complex one. We might otherwise end up with challenges to the relevant clause of the Constitution, which are similar to those that we have around Section 25 of the Constitution on property rights, that it's actually losing its transformative value if we overemphasize least cost at the expense of all the other considerations.
Fascinating. Mzikize Korta, we're going to have you back. There's still so much more to unpack from part one of Acting Chief Justice Raymond Zondo's first volume of his State Capture Report. Partner at Weber Wenzel with some of the interesting insights to have emerged from a public procurement perspective. Remember, as always, the law feature on Hot Business is brought to you by leading full-service law firm Weber Wenzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Weber Wenzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business.
Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.